we'll keep you. Thank you, because I completely forgot. And in fact, I probably should have put that last part on. But I will say it again. The page should be professional, and it should have a lot of different things that we've discussed, and maybe some things that are extra out on the web. And if you can find a friend to work with or an acquaintance to work with that would like a web page, that's an even better experience. Mainly because it's far more frustrating as you work with somebody that has their own ideas. If you're just working with you, then you're only dealing with your ideas. If you're working with somebody that says, no, I want a pink background, and that's not what you had in mind, and I want this and I want that, it's a far more frustrating experience, but it's also far more like reality. Okay, so now we are going to look at how to put it up on the website. So the first thing you're going to do is you are going to find WinSCP, and it's under CIS software. So click on CIS software, and then go into WinSCP. WinSCP, it's under the folder CIS software.
Where's that folder?
Somewhere on your desktop. CIS software. Yes, no, maybe it should be there, okay. And then it's WinSCP. Okay. And most of you have done this before in CIS 120 or in some other class. But if you haven't, the host is cisweb.bristolcc.edu. Most of my handouts say bristol.mass.edu, which is what it used to be. But now they would prefer you using cisweb.bristolcc.edu. Okay. Then you put your username in here, and your username has a number after it. Mine doesn't. And then you put in your password. There. So the host is cisweb.bristolcc.edu, your username and your Linux password. And then you click on login. And it comes up and asks you for a continue. It may come up with other things. Just yes it to death.
Well, I can't find the Win.
It's right under CIS software. It's the bottom thing in the CIS software folder. Okay, go back, just get out. And click on that little thing over there to get you back to there. Okay, CIS software. Click on that. And then it's the bottom thing. Okay. Okay, so cisweb.bristolcc.edu, and then put in your username and password, and click. Depending on whether you've used this before, you may have nothing there except an index, or you may have a bunch of stuff. Are you in?
Yeah.
Okay. So now you click on public HTML. And once you click on public HTML, you have basically all of the stuff that... it should be right up in the top.
Every time I try to put it in,
No, it's CIS Web got this.
No, I know.
Uh-huh. And then this is your username. So, public HTML is where you're going to work. And I have a gazillion folders in there. If you would like to make a folder, you can do file, new, and make a directory. And if you say you want to make a directory, I'm going to call it CIS 122 S16 for spring 16. Okay, so I've made a folder now called CIS 122 Spring 16. Okay, and again, I went to do that. I went to file, new directory, and I made a directory. Now I'm going to click on the directory, and I've got an area where I can put stuff that I want to do or that I'm making. So here's where I can put my web page. I'm going to go to the T drive. And I'm going to find that program that I wrote a few minutes ago called iframe test. And I'm going to drag it over. And so that means that I've put it in the folder. So I'm dragging it over. I click on OK. And I've now put it in the folder. So if you have something on the T drive, or you can put in your flash drive, but you should drag something over there so that you have an HTML file there. And again, you can do that by either taking something off your flash drive or taking one of my examples or whatever you want to do, but get something over there if you would. Okay, so now I have it sitting there, and it is all set. Okay, it's in a directory. It doesn't have to be in a directory, but I think it's easier to organize life if you put things in directories. Okay. I can also actually come in here and right-click on it and say edit so that I can make changes to my code. Okay, so I can right-click on it and say edit and make changes to your code. They do not back this up well. So if you make changes to it, do not assume it's going to be backed up. It always is there. But the day is going to happen when that isn't true. And so it's best to, when you've got it all done, drag it down to your hard drive or drag it down to a flash drive so you have a backup. But that's true of anything. You're nuts if you don't have a backup to everything you do. Okay, so you should make a backup to it. You can also, if you do files new, you can create a new file. And it says give it a name, whatever, .html. And it now lets me go ahead and write. So I can actually write things up here. Go right in here and actually write things. And this, whatever I write here, will be saved as and that's all I wrote. It will be saved as whatever.html. And there's the little save. And now I have something called whatever.html. So you can actually go in and write here again when you're done, drag it down to someplace else so you have a copy. Okay? So that is my setup. Now when I go to use this on the browser, I'm going to bring up a browser and I'm going to type in the address. Because I've got this stored out on the server, now I need to reference the server and say, I want to see what I stored out there. So the address I'm going to type in is the host. So I'm typing bristolcc.edu/ and a tilde and my username. Slash the name of the folder. The name of the folder. Slash the name of the file. And there is the page. So my address here was cis.bristolcc.edu/bcis122spring16/iframetest.html. Okay, so this is the host. Then I have the tilde username. This is the folder if I put things in a folder. And this is the page or file. If I didn't put things in a folder, if I put them just right up there, then I can skip the folder and just say the name. Okay? So this is how I access things that I have saved out on the server. I have to tell it who the host is, because the host has an address that points us to the Bristol server. So, I mean, I can run this when I'm in Texas, and it will still work, because it will look at the host, find the host. Now, within the host, they have set up an area under my name. Okay, and the tilde takes care of the part up here that says home and public HTML. The tilde takes care of that. So once I'm in my area, then if I created a folder, I have to tell it about the folder, and then I have to tell it what I want to get out of the folder. Okay? Questions? So that's the way you access something that is out on our server.
Okay. Why is there a timer?
Huh?
Why is there a timer? Is that just random? Just at the bottom, there's like time. I mean, I don't even see that. Oh, behind it. Behind that is like a timer for the...
I don't have any idea why they have a timer. I don't tend to time out too quickly. I mean, I can keep this open for half the afternoon and it will stay there. I mean, they could set it up so you time out. I mean, I'm in here. If you've logged in and you stay inactive for a while, it times you out. Okay, but I don't believe they've done that. I mean, I can be sitting at home and, as I said, have it open all afternoon, and it doesn't time out. Now, it may give me more privileges than it gives you. Do you time out ever? Anybody that uses it?
I've used it enough.
So that's how you get in. So the page that you do has got to be there. Now your homework, if you want to put it up on the server, that's fine. Instead of sending it to me, you can put it up on the server, but you then have to send me the address so that I can click on it and run it. Okay, so you're going to have to send me the address so I can click and run. Okay, I'm not intuitive, and I don't know when you put it up. And number two, I am not going to go looking for it. You've got to give me the address. Okay. Questions? Alrighty. That's where you're going to put your page. Okay, and I've now terminated and gotten out of there. Okay, now the next thing, we're going to go in and look at CSS. So I'm going here and I'm looking under HTML CSS sample code. Okay. And I'm going to look at the first one. Is it supposed to have what?
A pink background.
Yes, it is.
Huh?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Well, yours is white, so I was just...
No, mine's pink.
I take white for pink.
Okay. Huh. Mine's pink on my computer. Who knows? That's not the one... Don't save. Yes. Okay. So on this, I am showing you the three different kinds of CSS. The first one is an external link. So I can link to a separate page that is the CSS page. Okay, so I can do an external link to a separate page, and that is up here. I can embed style in the head. So I can have it embed in the header. Or I can have it on a particular tag. Okay, so here is two, and here is three. So I have those three ways of including style. Now, the thing that is closest wins. So if on the external I said the font is red, and then embedded in the head I said the color is purple, and then on a particular tag I said the color is orange, orange wins for that tag. Now, there are more complex rules that sometimes kick in. But if you know that basic, the thing that's closest wins, that works 95% of the time. There are some, when you get very much involved in HTML, there are times when one thing will have precedence over another. But you've got to really be fairly involved before you hit those. So those are the three different kinds of ways of doing it. The one that is least popular among professionals is number three, because the idea here was to separate style and content. And if you put the tag on the style on a particular tag, you're really not separating style and content. Okay, so that's the one that is least approved of. You have an external style sheet when you have style that you want to apply to multiple pages. So if I have a site and I've got 10 pages on the site and I want them to all have the same background color, the same default font, the same default font color and all that, then I put it in an external style sheet and every one of my pages has a link to that style sheet. So I don't have to redo it in every page, and therefore, if I change my background color, I can go to the external sheet, change it once, and it's changed for all 10 pages.
So you can just, so you would just have to put that link line?
Yes.
No.
Yep, you would put that link line that says link and then gives the name of the style sheet. Notice the style sheet has a CSS extension. And we will look at it. So before we do anything else, here is that style sheet on the next line. Okay, so there's the style sheet. And notice that there is nothing except the style that I could copy and paste into the head. So it's done exactly like the head. It's done in a style that I could copy and paste into the head. There's nothing here that says this is a CSS sheet. There's nothing that says this is the beginning, this is the end. It is just the style. And think of it as what you could copy and paste and put inside the word style in the head. Okay, so that's my style sheet. So I say in here that the body has a color of green and a background color of pink, that H1 has a font family of Verdana and then sans serif. If my font family has embedded spaces, it has to be in quotes. And when you put out the font family, as I've mentioned before, the last thing should be kind of one that everybody obviously has. Okay, you can get exotic and tell them what font you want to use, but if they don't have that font, the last one should be the default. So that's the style, and that style is being applied to the page. Okay. So I have got a style, and that is a link style. I've got a style where I said the color's purple and da-da. And then down inside the body, I've got the third style that says, okay, this particular line is supposed to be orange. Okay. Now, up here, I said the color for H3s was purple, and so all H3s are going to be purple. Actually, I already did that. Good for me. Okay, so now I'm going to bring up the CSS. And we'll put that. So there's the page, and the page has, this is the source for the page, and this is the external CSS for the page. Okay. So, I said that the default color for the body is going to be green and the background is going to be pink. So So in other words, it's green if I don't tell it otherwise. Then I said H1 and H2 are going to be red. And that seems to hold because I can see my H1s and H2s are red. Over here, I changed the H3. On the default, on the external rather, I have the color blue. Here I changed the color to purple. So you can see that the H3s have a color of purple. On the external, I said a paragraph was going to be blue, but then on the line where I changed to orange, that's a paragraph, and so the orange one, and that's orange instead of blue. But the paragraph beneath it did not have a style associated with the tag, and so it stayed blue. Okay. Divisions, I didn't give a color to, so divisions are the default of green that I stated for the body. Okay. So basically, all three styles are working together to make the page come out the way it is. And it really does have a background of pink. Again, I did a lot where I wrote background pink, and it works fine. But it is better to write background color. Because backgrounds can also be an image. And since there are a couple of possibilities, it's better to clarify and write background color and background image. It's not that background doesn't work. It's just better when there are multiple possibilities to do it that way. Okay. The next one, if you look at it, has absolutely no style in it. It is entirely done with the external style sheet. Okay? So this really kind of is the epitome of separating style and content, because the style is totally being done in an external style sheet. And there's the page, and it's picked up all that style from the external style sheet. And when I go to the external style sheet, which is right here, you can see that it has all of the information. Okay. Border information about the table, and so forth. Let me just copy that so we can see them at the same time. Okay, so the table has a background of white. The border is solid thick. The TD inside the table is orange font. The body is indented. It's got margins to the top, on the top as well.
Where does the green border come from on the table?
Because I specified color green.
Say that again.
Up in body, I specified color green. And so it will therefore carry that down. If you care, then you want to put a border color in. Anybody got, I've got Firefox open. Anybody got a different browser open? That, because you might because I'm relying on default, you might see that a different color someplace. I haven't been specific about it. If I really care, then I should have had border color and put that in as green. Okay? But because I said my default color for things was going to be green, it grabbed that as green. And I think on the next one I actually did that, so let me go and look. I played with it someplace and I think I saved it. Okay, so this one has kind of a reddish color. And if I look at that style sheet, I said border color brown. And so by saying border color brown there, I am picking up this brown border. Okay? So if you don't want it to do with default thing, and this applies to everything in CSS, there are defaults. It will do the defaults. If you don't like the defaults, then be specific. Tell it, I want the border to be brown, and tell it exactly what you want. There's default borders, there's default colors, there's defaults of a lot of things. If you're willing to live with the default, then that's fine. If you're not happy with the default, then you need to specify. Okay. Somewhere in here. On this one, I put everything in the head. So I don't have an external one. I just took it and put it all in the head. So this is basically what I did is I copied and pasted what was external. Wrote the word style, type equals text CSS, close style, and pasted it in between. And that works exactly the same way. Okay. Okay, at about now, anybody that has any artistic instincts should start forgiving me.
Say that again.
Anybody with artistic instincts should start forgiving me. What I've got here is a background for a particular area. And at one point, the White House had this lovely flying flag that I took. Okay, so if you look at this one, I've got to pull all of this apart. And if you click on it, when it says link, if you click on the link, you get the style. Okay, so what I've got here is I've got this. If I look at the source, that's my source, but no style. And if I look at my style, that's my style. Now, on these, I have classes. So notice what I did. On my block quote, I said class is going to be right. Then in my table, I said the class on this one will be right, and on this one will be right. the class on two of the others will be center. So if I wrote class equals right, I said text a line to the right, make it color of orange, make it a font style of italic, and make it a font weight of bold. If I said class of center, I said then text align center and make it pink. So if you look down at the bottom at that table that I set up, okay, you can see the table, and the first row, the first cell, has a class of right. And so the text is aligned to the right. Well, that's not real clear on that one because it fills the cell. But if you look down here at right, where I say just the word by, you can see that it's over to the right. It is also orange, it's also italic, and it's also bold. On the class of centered, it is centered. Again, it's not easy to see when I filled it, but with the word high, you can see it. And it is pink, even though it looks white up there. On my screen, it looks pink. So I set up classes. And the purpose of setting up a class is I didn't, therefore, have to say all TBs will be the same or embed the style in the TB. I could just set up the two classes. One was right, one was center, and then I could decide how I wanted to use them. Okay, so, and I notice I applied the right also to the block quote. So we'll go looking for the block quote. It says this is a block quote. So we'll go looking for that. And it should be over to the right. Okay. And there it is. This is a block. I guess it just said this is a block. So there it is, over to the right. Now, the other thing that I've got going on here is I said H1s, H2s, and H3s will have a particular font color. They'll be underlined uppercase. Notice text transform. I transform that to uppercase. And 46 means it's going to be very big. And then if I scroll up a little more on the style, I can see that paragraphs get an image. So anything that I set up as a paragraph gets this flag image behind it. The font is blue, it is totally unreadable, it is a lousy idea to use something like this as the background because you can't read the text that's written on it. The background for the whole page is aqua. Okay? Notice the image doesn't show up, because essentially background overrode background image. Okay, so the background image doesn't show up. The background color overrode it. Now.
Can I ask you, how did you get all those flags in there?
It's one flag, and then I said fill that area. If I put it as the background for the page, it would all be all over the page. Mm-hmm. So I can have one image and say make this the background, and it repeats it over and over and over again.
So that's all paragraph right there?
That's a paragraph, yes. And if you look at my style, paragraphs have an indention, text indented, and a margin at the top, so I've got it indented in part of the way, and it's got the flag background. And then the whole body has a margin as well. So if you look at it, the whole body has a margin over there. Okay? And that's why it's not going from corner to corner, is that the whole page has a margin. Yeah.
Is there a way you could fade those flags? That way they don't...
Yeah, go if you go into paint. You want to go in there and then you can, same as you can resize it, you can go in there and decrease it. And paint, I'll let you do it, not any of the applications. Okay, this one, yes. These are a series of what not to do's. Okay, this one just has the background image, so I get the background image. And again, what the background image does is repeat all over the place. And you can see that the background image is even behind the paragraph image, because you can see a little bit of it showing through. Okay? And again, don't do this. But it is to show what you can actually achieve. Okay, and this is another one that has classes on it. I've got to figure out how to make it default differently. Although I'm not sure there is a way. Okay, so here's my page, and here's my CSS. So I've got here two things that I want to look at, outline and pick box. And if you look down below, I've got division class equals outline. Okay, so division class equals outline puts some text in there. And outline says the border is supposed to be solid, medium, brown. Margin to the left, 26. Margin to the right, 20. No, margin to the left, 30. Margin to the right, 30. And the background color, in this case, I just use the RGB, which is one I don't usually use, but it is how another way of giving the color. Okay? So I said red is going to be 144, green is going to be 225, blue is going to be 255. And those are decimal numbers as opposed to hex numbers. So RGB gets me decimal numbers. And then on the second one, I said border solid, border width medium, brown, 26 by 26. And the background is going to be an image. And so I set those up, and I actually didn't write anything in the second box except a bunch of BRs, so it showed the image. Now, that is a lousy way of doing it. If I want the image in a box, I should just put the image up there and put a box around it. But I have a picture box with nothing in it except the background image showing. Okay. So again, I can have all kinds of setups here of all kinds of style. So that I make my page the way I want it to look. Okay. And the last one. Notice something is missing. It looks to be, at least. But this, there's nothing here. So, let's look at the code. And this time I put the code inside the head. So let me take the code out. Actually, let me take all the code. Didn't make the first thing go away. Wait a minute, I'm almost taking the wrong thing away. I should pay attention. Okay. So, what I've got here is I set up two styles. One of them I called outline, and one of them I called pickbox. But in this case, I wrote div.pickbox. That means it can only be applied to a division. So writing div.pickbox means it can only be applied to a division. Now, I'm not real clear why I want to do that. Since I'm the one that's applying it, I can choose to only apply it to a division, and I think that's kind of limiting. So I don't think of that as something that I think is a great thing to do, but you can do it. So down below, when I came to doing this stuff, I've got outline applied to a paragraph and outline applied to a division. So here's division, use style outline. Here's paragraph, use style outline. And since I didn't put any limitation on outline, it worked fine. Then I came down and I said, paragraph, use pickbox. Paragraph, division, use pickbox. And it said, no, I can't use pickbox when it's a paragraph. So it just left all that space because I had all those BRs in there. And then for the division, it applied pickbox because pickbox can be applied to divisions. But pickbox can't be applied to a paragraph, and so it didn't. And so all I see here is the spaces, because I can't apply it to a paragraph, because up here I said I can only apply it to a division. So when I tried to apply it to a paragraph, I encountered a problem. Does that make sense?
Did you do that intentionally?
Yes.
Oh,
No, most of my goof-ups are intentional. Some of them are, or at least if I post them. Most of my goof-ups are not intentional, but the ones I post, most of them are intentional. Okay. I don't let you see the great majority of my goof-ups. Okay. the next few have problems with them. And then we get into some positioning and things like that. I'm going to look at the third one down. Because that one works. Okay, so I'm looking at the third one down in that second group. It's called... color BK CSS name h5.html. Okay. And on this one, I've got a lot of embedded style. Okay, so I've got background color equals floral white. And the default color is cornflower blue. Note that there are 140 color names, 17 standard plus 123 more. If it is defined as standard, that is supposed to mean that all browsers will represent it the same. The other 123, a little iffier. It depends on how the browsers tend to do it. They've got it defined, there's a certain way it's supposed to be, but... the standard ones, they kind of try to make a promise about. Okay? So on this one, I did a lot of alignment inside. So I have things aligned to the center, aligned to the left, and aligned to the right. And I changed font sizes. I changed the color to crimson. And I changed the color to lime. Okay? So I've got a lot of styles that are in for the different H2s. The better way to have done this would have been with classes. So that I would have called this class center or class whatever, called this one class left, called this one class right, and set up classes rather than embedding them inside. So now I'm going to go back and look at the two that had a problem. Notice that nothing is aligned. Nothing is anything. It is all just plain, pushed against the left wall, no color, no nothing. So if I do a view page source, what's the problem here? Compare it to this one, because this is the one that worked. So compare those, and what is the problem? Look at the difference down here. Font size, 22 points. Font size, single quotes around the 22 point. Up here, it's just the code. Over here, there's quotes around the quote. So it's the quotes that are the problem. There was a time in CSS when you could do some of the quotes. But now they don't want those at all. And so basically I can't be putting the quotes in or it ignores them. Okay, so if you find yourself running into problems, double check that you haven't got extra quotes in there. Okay. And on the next one... I ran into problems. Well, no, I guess the next one works. Here's where I took out the quotes and I put the number signs in. So I've got the quotes out, the number signs in, and it works just fine. Okay? And that is a problem that I ran into with some people putting in excessive numbers of quotes. And let me get rid of some of this stuff up here. I have far too much. Talk about target being set up wrong. They've got the default target, so I just keep opening window after window after window. Okay. This one is kind of neat, the fourth one down. It's an import. So this is actually another way that you can bring in. The link is one way to bring in an external style sheet. This is another way to bring in an external style sheet. It is not used anywhere near as much, but it's an alternative. And that is the import. So I said here, under the word style, as opposed to having the link on its own, it's under the word style. And I have import one page, import another. I also could have had two links. I didn't do an example with two links, but I could have. So I said import the CSS A and import the CSS B. So I've got two that are being imported. And then I continued on and put some more style in the style area. Okay. So this is another way that you can do it, is with the import. And again, it's not used as much. So if I look at CSS AX, there it is. And it's just like the regular other style. It's just like the style. And I'm in for it.
My question is, how come header 1, 2, and 3 are almost the same size and header 4 is tiny? But when you look at this screen here, you have it listed as header 1, 2, and 3.
Okay, so header 1, 2, and 3 have a font family and it's red. Now we'll go and look and see what header 1, 2, and 3 are in this one. And header 1, 2, and 3 on this one, I set the size. Okay. So I said, basically, header 1, 2, and 3 is going to have a font size of that. Okay. Again, the thing that's closest wins, and this is the B one, and the B one is closer because it's the second one, and so it won, and they have a font size of 36. Okay? I'm not too fond of having multiples like that, because then it's one more level of trying to figure out who wins and what came up and all that. Okay. You've only got about a half an hour more, folks. You can make it. Some of you are looking like you probably can't, but let's give it a try. I'm feeling that way too. Okay. This one is kind of interesting because it's got some kind of interesting things in it. First of all, there is a problem. H4,
I have an H4 stuck in down here. I've got a division, and then I stuck in an H4 inside the division. If you look at the H4, and I really should have made it an H, a lowercase h, but it accepted the high, uppercase H.
H4, I said display in line. And it did. If you look over on the side, you can see it didn't move down to a new line, which it usually does for a header. It did a display in line, which meant that it stayed in the line. Okay, it didn't jump out the way headers tend to do. But it's not 24 points. Why? It should have been much bigger. My intention was to have it much bigger. Why did it not make it bigger?
Because it was in between.
No.
I did something wrong.
You didn't put the capital H's?
Nope. When I took the capital H and made it lowercase h, it didn't change. Look at the line below where I have 10 point. What's the difference? Yeah. Oh, I thought you were volunteering.
Oh, I know, I was stretching.
Is it because there's a space between?
Yes, exactly.
This space is the problem. You can't have the space. And since he can't have the space, it ignores the 24 points. Okay?
So the 24 points totally gets ignored. And folks, that's a non-CIS major. Okay, so you can't have the space. Okay. What is the letter spacing 10 point doing for you? What did the letter spacing do for you?
Stretched out the sentence.
Yeah. And basically what it said was every letter is going to use 10 points. And so that stretched it out. And it also made it uniform. So every letter is using 10 points. Okay, so letter spacing 10 points says that every one of these is 10 points.
And you can see where sometime if you want to call attention to something, that might be an interesting thing to do. Because your eyes go to that. They notice that. And part of what you want to do in a web page is focus the user on something. Okay. So, I also have my headers set up here. So I have a header 1, a header 2, and a header 3. And header 1, header 2, and header 3 all have very different... Let's see if I can get it. Header 1, header 2, and header 3 are all set up very differently. So they all say hello world, but they say it in very different ways, depending on the style. Mm-hmm. Questions? Okay, this one has the fix in it. So I got rid of the 24 point. I also fixed the H. But as I said, when I experimented, it wasn't the H that caused the problem. Because I tried fixing the font and then went back and fixed the H. So now it is an H4 that has been inserted in. And just in case, I made the font size 24 to make sure it was bigger. So I not only made it an H4, but I made the font size 24. So I can really take control of these, okay? Another way you could have done that was with a tag span, which means I want to span this area from here to here. So instead of doing the H4, I could have done a span.
I'm hearing, but I'm not understanding.
How would
you spell
just
that?
S-P-A-N.
S-P-A-N.
Just wanted to know. Yeah, no, instead of H4, you'd just put S-P-A-N. And then up in the style, you'd have to have S-P-A-N. Yeah.
Would there be a point value assigned to the span also, or just no?
Depends on what you wanted, and that one it would be important because H4 has a default in respect to H1, H2, H3. Span wouldn't. So with the span, I would stick with the font size, and I would definitely stick with the display in line if that's what I want to do. We've got some examples of span coming up, and I'd show them to you, except I don't remember where they are. But span is kind of for that purpose. We'll go and look it up quickly. Okay, so here's a try it yourself. Come on, you can do it. Okay, now they put a style in there, but they said, okay, I want to have a span, and they put this embedded the style. Style is blue, font is bold, and they have the span around the with blue. And then they put a span around the dark olive green, or dark green rather. So they have a span around that as well. Now they embedded the style. You don't have to embed the style. You could have the span or you, up above, if you wanted them to all be the same, you could put the style right in the head. Or you could put a class here, which would have been the better way of doing it. But a span is used that I've got a sentence, I got a paragraph, there's a particular area inside that paragraph or division or whatever that I want to treat differently. So I'm going to put the tag span around it, and then I can style that area and have that area look different than another area. Now, I accomplished that by putting the H4 in it, but an alternative would have been to use span, okay, instead of the H4. Let's see if I can get back. Nah. I really haven't gotten used to this change. Okay. That was features. Overlays. If I want to, I can pack things on top of each other.
needed this for another class.
You need this for another class? I can pack things.
I was going to ask you about it later, but like next week when I have more time. Gorgeous.
So
kind of funny.
Good timing. So here I have three different images. And I want to pack them on top of each other. Now notice that here are the three images. Snow gift, flag gift, CISA gift. And I set the height and width, which every time I do this, I tell you I really shouldn't. And I gave them a class. So I said this division has a class of snow, a class of flag, and a class of CIS.
So then I went up, and at the top I said dot CIS, dot snow, dot flag. So I'm talking about the three classes. I decided to have them all line up in the top corner, so I said top 16 pixels, left 16 pixels. So they all were the same, yeah.
Why do you have them as dots?
Because they're classes. So if I come down here and say the class equals snow, then I tell it that it's a class by writing dot snow. Okay?
So I decided to make them all start at the same place. I didn't have to. I could have made them start different places. And I said the position is absolute. And next week we will talk about absolute versus relative positioning. But position absolute means don't muck around with the position,
basically. And then Z index 0 is the bottom layer. Z index 1 is one layer up. Z index 2 is one layer up from that.
So Z index 0 is the bottom layer, then 1, and then 2. Okay? So I've got all three pictures packed on top of each other. And then I did it another way. And this time I did exactly the same thing, except I used ID instead of class. And apparently I decided to close Notepad. So this time I used ID instead of class. ID and class, there are subtle differences. ID is supposed to only be used once. So I'm only supposed to say ID equals CIS once. ID equals flag once. ID equals snow once.
With class, and you've seen examples of it, where I said class equals right, and then I had something else where I said class equals right, and then I had something else where I said class equals right, so I reused it. ID is not supposed to be reused, which means that when you start doing more sophisticated things, and we'll look at those, IDs tend to be big picture, where I talk about this is the basics of the page, so that I have an ID for it. This is the header on the page. This is the middle of the page. This is the bottom of the page. And class tends to be used for everything else.
So ID tends to be used for big picture. Class tends to be used for everything else. There's no real need to have to use ID. You can make them all class if you want to. So there's no restriction on the use of class, but there is a restriction on the use of ID. It is only supposed to be used once. And some examples that we'll see when we look at more pages will show you kind of how you can use the class versus the ID. But for now, that's the basic rule. On this one, notice I started numbering 1, 2, 3 for absolutely no good reason except to show you could do it. Usually in computer worlds, you start numbering at zero. So 012 is the one you will see most often out there. On this one, just to show that it could happen, I made it 123, where 1 would be the base, 2 would be the next level up, and 3 would be the next level up. Okay? But I could have done these with 0, 1, and 2. There's nothing about ID that said I had to start with 1. Okay. The end's in sight, folks. This is positioning. And I made my font big because I wanted to cover a lot of room. And I got sick of writing. So that's why my font is big. View page source. Okay, the big thing here is what I want to look at is the background. Here I have a background image, but it doesn't go over the whole page. I said, here's the background image. I want to repeat it along the x-axis. Okay, I want to repeat it across the x-axis. So that means I get one line across the x-axis. If I say repeat against the y-axis, I get a line down the side. Okay, so the x-axis will give me a line across the top, and the y-axis will give me a line across down the side.
What if you want to put the going across the bottom, for instance?
Then wait and you'll see how you can do some of that. But this one, okay, notice background attachment scroll. Okay, so I've got background attachment scroll. So now I'm going to do this, and what happens with background attachment scroll? It's scrolling up, right? And I'm losing the attachment. And if I keep going, I've totally lost the attachment. It is scrolled up with the page. Okay? The next one has background Y, and it also scrolls. Okay, so this has background Y. And it also scrolls. File, new, don't save. Okay. But when it scrolls, notice it just keeps staying there, it just keeps adding it. So it's not the same impact of the scrolling. Then the next one was just one image. And this is kind of, lots of times you'll see the one image sticking out at the bottom down here. A company will kind of put the image there in the background and they'll make it very faint. And they'll put it in the background so that it's kind of always there. So if I look at this page, all right, I'll select all. Is that going to make you happy? Okay, so on this one, I've got top left, no repeat, fixed, and background color beige. But I've got top left, no repeat, and fixed. So if scroll scrolled off the page, what do you think fixed is going to do?
Just
Right. So if I go down, it stays there, and it is fixed in that spot. So the text goes over and on top of it, but it stays fixed in that spot. Okay. And now the next one is going to have floating. So this one has top left, no repeat, and scroll. Okay.
So that one would disappear.
That one disappears. So on this one, when I look at it and I scroll, it's going. Okay, so no repeat, put it in the top left, and scroll, and it goes off the page. And then I think the next one puts it at the bottom. And I've been trying to think of what you asked, Sandra, and I'm not sure how you get, whether you can get the line on the bottom. Because I was thinking of this. I will try to remember to look that up, and you can look it up too if you wanted to get a line along the bottom. Okay, so that is giving me the image at the bottom, and it's fixed, so it will stay there. So that means when the page goes down, it stays there. So that's how you can put different images in the page and make them work. I think I'm going to leave floating for next time. So remind me that I didn't do the floating, and I want to do that, but that's more, I'd rather do that fresh. So we've now gone through CSS. I've given you a CSS assignment to play with, and I want you to start working on the web page, which I would like by April 11th. Okay? And if it's not good enough for a great grade, I'll let you know and you can fix it. But this should be HTML and CSS. A little further in, after we've done some JavaScript, I'm going to tell you to either add JavaScript to the page or do another page with JavaScript on it. Okay? But this one should just be HTML and CSS. I'm done. Questions?